Okay, Rabbi, so some interesting halachas this week. Some interesting halachas this week. Yeah. Yeah, we might get, I'm not sure. We might get this week to it. Yeah, it is possible. It is possible, yeah. Yeah. Okay, I wanted to rectify something which I said last year. I looked at it in a little bit more detail, and I think it deserves a bit of polishing to what we said. Let me just get to it. I think it's a very interesting. I find it very interesting topic, and I find it historically so interesting what happened here. We've got the Shulchan Aruch said. Just allow me to go back a little bit, just to the previous page. We learned that in Simon Samach Vav. In Seif Zayin, we learned as follows. So we're up to just before the Quiet Shemoneh Esrei. So we don't say Einoy Omer Omein Al Gol Acha Gol Yisrael. I think the Shulchan Aruch says you don't say Omen after Gol Yisrael. Why? Because it's a hefsek. Yesh Oim Drama says you do say Omen. So we discussed the minig in Shtibel and in other places. So what is exactly the discussion over here? So Shulchan Aruch says we don't say Omen after Gol Yisrael. Now what is that? What does that mean? Shulchan Aruch says you don't say Omen after Gol Yisrael. What was the chazan saying it loud, or was the chazan saying was finishing the bracha quietly? What scenario are we talking about?
Must be that you can hear it.
Of course. So Shulchan Aruch says that when it's a bracha to Hashem Gol Yisrael, loud, chazan says it loud, nobody answers Omen because of hefsek. The Rama says, and he says, no, the meaning is to say Omen. Unless you daven b'yichidus, but otherwise, the meaning is to say Omen. So we've got a machloekes Shulchan Aruch and Rama as to whether you say Omen after a loud Baruch Atah Hashem Gol Yisrael. Shulchan Aruch says you don't say Omen, and Rama says you do say Omen. Okay, that's the machloekes over here. But what is self understood? What is self understood, which nowadays is not done in many shuls? Exactly, it doesn't even occur to the Shulchan Aruch, and nor does it occur to the Rama. To do what is so common nowadays, and to say Gol Yisrael quietly. And if you look in Ishmael, you won't see that there either.
That's why we do say quietly, because of the
self-awareness. Yeah, but you're perhaps right. You're probably right. But what I'm pointing out is, you've got a potential problem. There's a problem over here as to whether one should say Omen, or one should not say Omen after Gol Yisrael. And there's machloekes about this. This is the point of the machloekes. Should you say Omen, yes or no? Okay? Ramah, Shulchan Aruch, yeah. No, it didn't occur to anybody that you just say the bracha quietly. So you are saying, good news, we've found the chumrah, and like this you can be heard to all the opinions. If you say it quietly, you certainly don't say Omen. Now, this what you are saying is probably the reason of why so many shuls have adapted this minhag. However, as the more I looked into it over the last few days, I saw that Rav Vozner, in the name of his Gdolim, his Rebbes, Reb Shlomo Zalman, Rav Eliashiv, you name it, Gdol Yisrael said, actually it's not so posher to do that. Because you see, one thing, this is a simple etzer. It's a simple etzer to say Gol Yisrael quietly and thereby avoiding any potential omens. It's a very simple etzer, and yet, nobody suggests it. Not the Shulchan Aruch, not the Rama, and guess what, not the Mishneh Berurah either. And nor did it occur to any of the Achronim. Why not? Why did it not occur?
It's a simple etzer because we already know about it. Right?
Exactly. I don't think it's so exceptional. It's not extraordinary thinking. You make the bracha quiet, and then nobody says Amen. They all learned all those gedolim that I mentioned. Now they said on the way around. They said no, because it didn't occur to them. It's not that it didn't occur to them. Right. It's that they don't hold you can do it. You cannot do something which is part of what the chazan is meant to say loud. You're not allowed to say quiet. This is part of the shliach tzibur's role is to be moitzi bracha, to say the brachas of Birkas Kiyas Shema. And therefore, they hold, this is part of the brachas after Kiryat Shema. You've got to say them loud. You can't say them quietly. And therefore, they say you can't do that. And guess what? Even the Mishnah didn't think of it. Yeah.
What we could do is ensure that you time your own.
That's what you're saying is absolutely spot on. That's perfect. That's what Mishnah says you should do. He thinks it's a good idea. If anything, you say the bracha together with the Shliach Tzibur, and thereby you sure can't say Amen. But what I'm going to point out is, it's really interesting. I find this historically, if you look in the halachic history, I find it very interesting. You've got to be something which is so common nowadays. It's such a well-spread chumra. In fact, if you're a chazan, if you're a Shliach Tzibur and you don't do that, the question is, are you reform? Are you liberal? Where do you belong exactly? You know, is he really showing this kind of anger? And the reality is, this is a very, very modern chumra, and according to many gdolim, it's probably the wrong thing to do. I want to point out that Chaim Kanevsky did support this. It looks like, from a short tshuva that I saw, it looked like perhaps that he supported it, but it's definitely the first person who writes about it is very, very recent. It seems to be post-war kind of introduction, and therefore I think there's a strong argument to say that, you know, it's one of those chumras that one has to weigh as to whether it's really such a chumra or perhaps a kula. Okay, we continue. Seif Ches, yes, let's continue from there. So that is what happens if a person only gets his talis and tefillin? So the case discussed in Seif Ches is what happens if a person gets his talis and tefillin really just before Shemoneh Esreh? Major mishap. It just, you know, that's how late he gets it. You know, what are we meant to do now? Are you allowed to make a bracha on talis or tefillin of, you know, just before Shemoneh Esreh? Or not. No. So what are you meant to do? You say Shema without talis and tefillin.
Where exactly is he up to?
Good question. The Shulchan is going to. So let's say he's in the middle of Tzu Yisrael.
But it's Ben Zeperet.
So good. So therefore. But you know, they're very good. Okay, this is exactly Machloka Shulchan Aruch. Let's look at this inside. So, the assumption is that we know that you have to be so mechgul letfilah, which is a very important concept. To be so mech, what's the word? To, what? To be so mech, to make them close.
Combine.
Join in, combine, yeah. Combine geula letfilah, the geula, meaning the goal is well. Goal Yisrael, which is the Geula, to Tfilah, which is a very interesting concept. Geula always has to come, Goal Yisrael always has to come right before Shemoneh Esreh, whether it's Shachris or Marib. Now, what we got to know as well is that you're not allowed to interrupt afterward Goal Yisrael, you go straight, smoothly, and immediately you go into Shemoneh Esreh. Rak, only. Imiru Oines, if there was a massive mishap. Such as Shloiniach Tefillin, he didn't put on Tefillin beforehand, he didn't have them, or perhaps he wasn't his man yet, he didn't put on Tefillin before that. When he's Damnoloi, and now he got hold of the Tefillin, being Geula Letefillah, so, Shulchan Aruch's opinion is as follows. Meniach Oz, he should put on the Tefillin now, V'lo yevorich aleihem, but do not make a bracha, ad until Achar Sheispalel. So Shulchan Aruch's opinion is, put them on, but don't make a bracha. Do you remember? We've spoken extensively about this, both when it came to Hilchos Tefillin and to Hilchos Tzitzis as well. You could put them on. You can't put them on without making a bracha.
That's not a hefsek.
So that's the discussion. He feels it's not sufficient of a hefsek to push it off until after Shemoneh Esreh. It's a little hefsek, and that's not bad. However, making a bracha, why make the bracha now? Why? What's the rush? Why? Make the bracha later. What's the big deal?
You could say,
One sec. But that's in terms of the tefillin. Aval talis lo niach os. But in terms of the talis, do not dare putting on talis now. Why not? What's the difference? Why tefillin we said, go for it now. And talis we say, wait until later. Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting what you're saying. He's wearing talis cotton anywhere underneath. No, I don't know if we're talking specifically about that. Very interesting. What Mishnah Berurah says is what you are saying. You don't. Who says you have to put on talis now? Why are you putting on talis now? Why? Why? You could put on talis later. Put on talis later. The mitzvah of tzitzis, as we know it, is probably not, it's not a chovas gavra in the first place. It's only a chovas, you know, once you wear a full kohen garment, that's when you have to put on tzitzis. You don't really have to put on tzitzis. Firstly, and second of all, it's not even really directly linked to davening. Could really put on talus, you know, later on, whatever. It's not, tefillin, however, is more intrinsically linked to tefillin. Therefore, if you get this scenario that you're getting hold of your talus and tefillin just before Goal Yisrael, what you do is you put on the tefillin without a bracha, but you do not put on talus at all. Hakuna shulchan aruch. Aval talus lo yaniach os. We turn to the next page, top of page 202. V'imad shaloyom ha-Goal Yisrael. What happens now? That he's only getting them when he actually said Goal Yisrael. So that's the absolute last chance. Last chance to, before Shemon Esser. Before that was mid to Yisrael, now it's Goal Yisrael. So Nizdam no letalas and tefillin, minicham, Shulchan Aruch says, put them on now, v'lo yivoy echalem adach tefillah. He says, put them on now, but make the bracha later. Ramah disagrees. What does Ramah say? Ramah holds as follows, yesh oymeim shekodam, shekodim Goal Yisrael, yivoy echal tefillin. He says, no, if you're before Goal Yisrael, you put on tefillin. V'achinog, and that's the minix. So Ramah holds that even b'emtza perek, you can put him on, but you're certainly not going to put on. You're not going to put on talus now. You put on tefillin, but you don't put on talus. And also in terms of the bracha, you make the bracha much later. There is over here. You know, sometimes you've got these very hidden, the very secretly hidden shai tzions. It's very interesting. We're going to learn now. We're going to come across now a shai tzion, a five word, which is actually something which we did. It's really crucial. It's really, really important. But we've never come across this halacha. It's really strange that it ended up over here. In Sifkot Samach Talet, the Sha'atzin tells us the following halacha. You're not allowed to do any malacha, any work. Who is referring to in Sifkot Samach Talet? The Sha'atzin over here is referring to tefillin. And what he's telling us, you're not allowed to do any malacha before having put on tefillin. Abu said it's a very big chiddush because we never came across this halacha when he learned the tefillin. What the Sha'atzin over here, suddenly, out of the blue, if we may say, is mechadash, is that you're not allowed to do a malacha before putting on tefillin. Any work. Correct. We're more likely referring to the kind of malachas that we, when we talk about... cycling, yeah. Anything which is hard labor. So cycling is not hard labor for some of us. So I'll tell you where this comes into it. It certainly comes in. Tisha B'Av is going to be one question. It's going to be a bit of a question, Tisha B'Av. Don't know about that. But more importantly, what happens if somebody, let's say a person goes away for Shabbos. He goes to Manchester for Shabbos, yeah? Well, let's think of a case. And he forgot the tefillin. Forgot his tefillin. He knows he's going to... He forgot his tefillin at home. Now he knows he can put on tefillin when he gets to destination. He's going to put on somebody else's tefillin. Can you help me with a case which is a bit more... What could be a case? He goes...
He can return home to get his tefillin, but it will take him an extra...
Yeah, but let's say he's going to... The point being that he's going to put on tefillin later in the afternoon. He's going to put on tefillin by mincha. Right. So we're learning now is that you're not allowed to do any melacha prior to putting on tefillin. You can't do any melacha. You can't do any work. You can't do any work. There's an issa that it's very strange. When we learned al chasfilin, for weeks we learned al chasfilin, we never came across this halacha. There's no such halacha there. But here the Sha'atzin is telling us, do not do any melacha, any work, any labor before putting on tefillin. What do you think, exercise? Just what do you think, exercise? Biking?
Biking is transport.
Yeah, that's for sure. Okay, I agree. That would be okay.
You need to go for a pleasure ride.
Probably pleasure ride. I think it probably would. Excess might be a problem. I think it's a malacha. I think any work, even if it's on the computer, is probably going to be defined as a malacha. So say you want to work 2 hours before putting on tefillin. You said brachas already, you know, help me out with a case. What could be a case? That you want to do some work before putting on tefillin.
Because in the summer you've got many hours of light.
Yeah.
In the winter you can do what you like pretty much before a shabbat.
Yeah, so I agree, because you're definitely right. If there's no choiv to put on tefillin yet, if you're talking about before Alois...
Nothing exists by
then the shul, this wouldn't apply. Yeah, yeah. When the chiyuv of putting on tefillin up is there
already.
Yeah.
What's the question? What's the example? What's
think of an example
of
that, let's say you've davened already, but you haven't put on tefillin, and you could work, but you now we're being taught that you're not allowed to.
Send an email.
Answering an email.
Yeah.
No, not just a one line email. He means anything that is going to take your attention.
I think perhaps a short email.
Perhaps that's not got to do with putting on tefillin.
It's not malacha, it's malacha.
That's very strict. That's very, very strict. You're pushing it very far. You're saying that anything which is not related.
Well, can you boil the kettle to have a cup of coffee?
Imagine somebody's not putting on.
But that's not to do with tefillin.
Yeah.
You need the concentration.
No, somebody says, imagine the following case. Somebody hasn't put on tefillin because he forgot them. He went away for Shabbos. Yeah, that's a case. Okay, Friday, that's it. Friday went away for Shabbos. Okay? Friday, done with everything. He went to Manchester for Shabbos. And Friday is fine. But he forgot the tefillin at home. Sunday suddenly realizes, oh, what should I do? Don't have my tefillin here. Okay? He's going to put on tefillin when he gets home. But until then, all he's doing is davening. Tal is okay. But he's not putting on, he's unable to put on tefillin. So,
can he?
That's what Shantin is probably teaching us. What's that?
To walk back from Manchester.
No, he can drive. He can drive, but
a 5-hour drive.
Now, I suppose Malach is not going to be defined as yeah.
It's one of the footnotes here about number 35.
Yeah, let's have a look at 35. Yeah, he's trying to define what exactly is what kind of malacha we're talking about. Yeah, is it long malachas, even short malachas? And look what he adds after that, that certainly you're not allowed to eat before putting on tefillin. That's for sure. So you're not allowed to eat before. Yeah, that's definitely just like any other mitzvah. You wouldn't be allowed to eat before putting on tefillin. Yeah. So this fellow from who lost the tefillin at home, he's driving home. He'll have to do without any. Yeah, so I think that some poskim, I remember that some poskim said you're not allowed to wash. What's that? Yeah, mezonos might also be a problem. I think that shakel is the one matter. Such an instance. Okay, I want to try to complete safe test. Elano is kadosh kedusha ben gudol tefillin. When you are baruch atah Hashem goal Yisrael, no, you're allowed to answer kadosh. You're allowed to answer kedusha. The kate said, "Oisir, what you do? Mamtinat b'shir chadosha kidei lanois." If you are a bit of foresight, you stay b'shir chadosha, and you answer kedusha, kadosh, whatever. But you don't move on. Stay put. Yeah. But the point is that God Yisrael is the worst place. Now, Sifyut is perhaps also a chiddush. Kol mishloy omer emes v'yatziv shachris v'emes v'emuna arvis lo yotzei chovas hamitzvah ketikuno. Whoever didn't say emes v'yatziv or emes v'emuna is not fully yotzei the mitzvah of kiyashma, because the brachas of kiyashma are part of the mitzvah. So yes, you have been yotzei kiyashma, but not in an ideal way. Yeah.
So if you mash it with bracha before and after.
Oh, I see. Just like Torah requires a bracha before and after, so also Shema also.
It says in Yerushalmi.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow. Check it out. Oh, wow.
Wow.
Very impressive. Gentlemen, there you go. Very nice. Very, very impressive.
Can you repeat that? Yeah. You say brachas for Shema. Why wouldn't you?
In terms of being why not yotzei? Shema is the mitzvah, just the three paragraphs.
Yeah, but it's
because Shema represents, particularly when we're not being yotzei when we say it, for example, in a shacharis where we miss tzitzis from Krishna but make tzitzis from Tefillah, or in a marav which we say early, we're not doing any mitzvah of Shema.
But any pasuk is
Talmud Torah. But so in order to be mekayem the mitzvah properly, Talmud Torah requires the Hashimah's brach before and after. If you look at Abu Rab in Shacharis, if you don't say Birkas HaTorah with Kavala, you can be
absolutely. In fact, if you don't say Birkas HaTorah at all, you can be Yotze with Abu Rab.
As long as you learn straight afterwards.
Yeah, correct. Okay, I was trying to finish Sif Yud. Rabbi said to finish to complete the Siman tonight. Be'ezer Hashem, kol mi shloim ha'amiz v'yad Sif Yishach ha'amiz v'yimunu ha'amiz lo'yotz v'chavoz ha'mitzvah k'tikuno. And finally says the Rabbi, Mishu onus v'dochuk v'en lo'y p'nai le'espal mi'at. Achik yashma, what happens if somebody is unable to complete the davening straight after Shema? Yikuk yashma ad emes v'yamten le'shaboch zat she'espal she'ozoim emes v'nochen v'espal k'dish mechkulu v'tfile. If somebody is unable to do the whole davening, he should stop. The worst place to stop in davening, if a person has to interrupt the davening and split in the two halves, what the Ramah is telling us, whatever you do, don't stop. Don't have your tea break before Shemoneh Esser. You can do that before Baruch if you really need to. You can do that, you know, there's other times. But whatever you do, don't stop by Gali Soil. It's one of those places that you just have to, like, go with the flow kind of thing, okay? Okay, Rabbi said, to summarize what we learned this evening, we learned Bli'ayin Ora, we learned. So we discussed again this Siv Zayin, who gave us the Machloekes Shulchan Aruch and Ramah about Gali Yisrael, and the Amen, subsequent Amen, and the Ramah says, you do say Gali Yisrael loud, and you do say Amen. That's what the Ramah says. The Siv Ches taught us that you don't interrupt after Gali Yisrael. We discussed what happens if a person gets his talus and tefillin at that point. The Ramah learns that you put on tefillin, but you will not make a bracha, and the talus also, you push that off for later. Because of the Chavis Gavra. We don't answer Kaddish Kedusha between Gali Yisrael. Rather, you wait by Shir Chadosha patiently, and that's when you're going to answer. Similarly, if a person didn't say Emes V'yatsev and Emes V'emun at all, he's not Yoitze the Chavis Mitzvah of Kiyas Shema properly. Okay, Rabbi Stan, that's what we learned this evening. Tomorrow we're going to be learning about Sofek, if somebody's not sure if he said Kiyas Shema or not. What is Halacha? And there will be discussed tomorrow evening, Mitzvah Hashem. I wish you a very good evening.